listening. Welcome to As the Worm Turns. You're tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears. I am here with our favorite organic gardeners, Lance and Lulu.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
It's great to be here tonight on such a beautiful autumn fall day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, woo! Winter just knocked on the door.
Right.
Said, hello, you guys remember me?
Yeah, feels so good. It's invigorating and fresh.
I love it.
Got a little bit of snow here in the North Fork Valley in town, mm-hmm. I'll say. But you got hit with some snow up there.
I had 6 inches this morning.
6 inches? He's usually on the dry side.
Yeah.
It's pretty wet in town. Mm-hmm. But there was, enough. It's going to make what I need to do next a pain in the butt. But, so what?
Right.
If I do it. If I don't, I don't. I might
there
just go,
go
skiing.
Easy peasy, mm-hmm. which is getting kind of exciting.
Yeah. Yes, I could give you a snow report.
Why don't you do that?
Up there to Snowmass.
Yeah.
Up at the snow stake, which is at 10,061 feet, I think, or roughly 10,000 feet.
Right.
There's the snow stake shows up almost a foot.
From this storm.
Yep.
Sweet.
Mm. Yeah, really sweet.
Uh-huh. And yeah. Lance, you said they're packing on the Grand Mesa.
Yeah.
Packing that trail. So mm-hmm. moving into it.
Yeah. Packing the mm-hmm. Highlands Bowl, the boot packers are up there doing that.
Mm-hmm. We're winding down our 11th season.
Uh-huh. I can't believe
it. As the worm turns. Wow. I know. Lucky 11. And we are here to take your calls tonight.
Yeah, we'll still listen to whatever it is that you're moaning and groaning about.
Bring it.
It has to do with the garden.
Yeah. Tell us what's up.
Yeah.
Tell us what's up. Yeah.
970-527-4868-866, KVNF now, and the email is worm@kvnf.org. Special thanks to our special guest last week, our neighbor, Kevin O'Brien, coming in. And
mm-hmm.
That was so fun.
Yeah, his enthusiasm was off the charts.
Well, and I loved when he gave the perspective of how much his soil base has grown.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing when you're really building soil. I have that problem too, not as much as Kevin, but it's amazing.
Yeah, so organic matter really works.
Organic matter really, really, really,
right.
really
and
works.
In different styles and methods
yes.
as well. I mean, mm-hmm. I love that about
Well, there you
we
go
learned.
Back to the big D word, diversity. You know,
yeah.
that's where you get your. That's how things survive because it's diverse. And if something goes down, something else takes mm-hmm. usually takes advantage of it.
Yeah.
And that's those are the real rules.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Diversity.
Yeah.
Diversity. Great word and a great concept.
Yeah, it really is. It's amazing that old Mother Nature figured that out.
I know we should all sit in our gardens and our yards
and just
watch a little
watch,
bit more.
Yes.
Yeah. Observe.
Just pay attention a little bit mm-hmm. more.
You know, and I've mentioned in the past, but as I'm working in the garden, all of a sudden I get ideas. Mm-hmm. And I don't put them in the back. I go and do them right now.
Oh, okay, give us an example of that.
Well, I'm going around it in the springtime.
Uh-huh.
And I'm weeding or something like that. And all of a sudden, oh, I need to plant this. And I go and plant it.
Go and get it uh-huh. and do it. Yeah.
yeah you know.
So you take what yeah. the universe is telling
yeah.
you to do.
Well, like Kevin said, the garden talks to you.
Right.
The plant talks to you. So if
right.
you're not listening to loud music and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. I mean, not that that's bad. But out in the garden, you get to hear these things.
Yeah. You know who on one of our Worms on the Road trips had just a great relationship like that with mm-hmm. all of his plants was Matt Springer up at Gray Owl.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. he had a lot of friends in his garden.
He did.
It was awesome.
He did, remember? And he called them friends. Oh, these are mm-hmm. my friends, you
uh-huh.
know? And
yep.
it was really nice.
Yeah, it's great.
That's the way you want to do it, for sure. And mm-hmm. and that listening to your plants and feeling what they want and need. Mm-hmm. And they love it when you sing to them.
Right.
They like rock and roll, too.
Okay.
I was just trying to think of what you'd be singing out there, but there could be a lot of different things. But yeah, you could take what you do in the garden and that special relationship and bring it on home up to a human level and, man, make the planet a great place to be. Anyway, let's get back to that snow and what's going on with ending up the season. And what did you have covered for the storm, Lance?
But everything that's still out there.
Okay.
The which carrots, is probably the carrots, a lot. Beets, finocchio, kohlrabi.
You covered your carrots, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Everything's. Yeah. I harvested 50 pounds today. Mm-hmm. And how did you do that? Well, they were covered, so they really didn't have any snow on
right.
them.
Right. You just blow it off. Yeah.
Well, I took a broom.
Dusted off. But yeah.
I took a broom and got it off the tarps, and then I pulled the tarps off. And
was your snow wet?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, it's definitely wet. This morning was cold hands. I harvested another 25 this afternoon. It wasn't as bad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but then you're slopping around in the mud.
Yeah, right.
You know, so.
I left my shoes outside because they bad.
Thank you. They mud season shoes.
They bad.
The only thing that wasn't covered was the kale. And it wasn't cold enough to bother them. And I knocked the snow off of them this afternoon. And I have some blankets over them now.
Yeah.
For that real hard frost can burn them. It doesn't kill them. So.
Yeah, you just cut it out and carry on.
Yeah, keep on eating.
So that's all those sweet greens now that are so tasty.
I bet you those beet greens are really good right now, too.
Right. Yeah. I bet you they're over the top.
Yeah.
I covered my beets. I threw a mattress pad over them just in case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah.
You've got critters in your beet patch.
Yeah,
That's the funniest thing. Yeah, I have red beets, Chioggia beets. That's the one with the pink and white circles.
Right. Uh-huh.
And golden beets. And
guess which one they
ate all of my goldens.
Little brats.
I think out of the patch.
Mice, right?
Mice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The voles do something different. You know, they do chew on them, but they do it from underground. They got tunnels.
Uh-huh.
And the voles are out there. They've chewing a little bit. But, no, this was all the shoulders. And I didn't know they were in there because they chewed around where the green tops come out. So all the green tops were still there.
Looking good.
Yeah.
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 They went just a little below that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little rash.
Shoulder work.
Shoulder work.
And the voles did come up and they seem to just stay in one spot was what they hit and stuff. So they will not be lasting much longer because nothing's going to be out there for them.
Yeah. Right, right. Because we are officially in frost is on the pumpkin season.
Yeah. Most definitely. Yep. Yep. I'm dehydrating now.
Okay. Oh, yeah. What do you got going?
Well, just the apples are left, but then the dehydrator goes on and it warms up the little house back there, and the marjoram was unbelievable. So fragrant. And basil, so I have those dried. They were on racks back there and they're all drying, and the basil's in the jar and the marjoram is still hanging out a little bit. Let's see, I did 12 trays of apples, so that was nice. Made 3 gallons of dried apples, which is pretty nice.
Yeah.
You know, and there's more. I mean, there's still some on the steps going into the basement, so I'll get to
if,
it.
Yeah, if you're not skiing, you can work on apples.
Yeah.
Think of that. I did get 3 gallons of dried tomatoes.
Oh, no kidding.
Nice. Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot from you, considering you really don't
put a focus on tomatoes. Guy.
No.
Yeah. And do you dry those on trays in your seed house there? Or?
I dry them in the old mobile home.
Oh.
And during the sunny parts of the day, you know, which is most of the time, it's probably over 100 degrees in there.
Oh, wow.
Perfect.
You know? And I might run a fan on them, you know.
You wouldn't want to get stuck in there. You might get mummified.
Oh, God. Right? Like the mummified cat.
Yes.
The mummy cat.
Right? Mm-hmm. Did you slip those square ice cubes into the freezer at my house?
No.
Was that you?
No.
Son of God. You wouldn't admit it on air anyway. I'll tie you up and figure it out later. The mummified cat. Yeah, that was so... It was out for Halloween.
Yeah,
people it's pretty cool.
But, Lulu, you put down your routine of the tarps to catch your maple leaves.
Yeah.
You got that down now?
Yeah, and I have different size tarps. And the one that's in the... fire pit area that catches most of the leaves from that big trifecta of maples. It's a wreck now because it's wet. And it's huge. It's really big. But, you know, I'll figure it out. But it's just makes it so easy.
Right.
And then I have a smaller tarp that's the perfect one for maybe I go over to my neighbor's yard and see if they want me to hit some of theirs.
Mm-hmm. Smaller trees? Because there's still a lot of leaves.
They're still on the trees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I drove to Aspen yesterday because I had to do an emergency uniform pickup. And this river valley, all the way up till you get to McClure Pass is still, you know, gold and green.
It's just
beautiful.
Stunning.
Just drop dead beautiful. It's stunning. Then you get over on the other side, and there was a light dusting of snow as you go over McClure Pass. And then on the other side there, they're further along than we are until you get right to Carbondale, and then it looks about the same.
Right.
So, interesting how it...
You know
how it's so different in different spots.
Yeah, that as the crow flies is not that far. But
weather-wise, it's a different animal.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the snow snake that I showed you at Snowmass. Stake has about a foot of snow on it, and that's at 10,000 feet, 10,060, 4160.
What's McClure? What's the elevation going over McClure?
I know what it is. It's this is almost the same as the top of Little Nell. It's 8,000? Yeah,
85.
It's 8555 or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's not very high. 8,557. Yeah,
that
something
sounds
like,
close.
Close enough.
Right.
Close enough. Everybody says, you're going over the pass. It's like, dude, man, it's only 8,000 feet.
Yeah. Well, if I said that to my friends in San Clemente,
they'd
on the beach,
your ocean beach bums,
it's all in perspective.
Yes, for sure. All right, we'd love to hear from you tonight. 970-527-4868-866 KVNF now, worm at kvnf.org. As much as I absolutely love both of you, I love it when people call.
I love it, too. I think it's always so fun.
Yeah.
So maybe you guys have some questions about your indoor plants and your house plants and stuff. Mm. You know what I find is a difficult plant to keep alive? Rosemary.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you bring that inside? You mean overwinter it?
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. I always bring it in. But I know people that do leave it out and are successful. But I had this one little plant, and I wasn't thrilled with it all year. And so it just said, you know what, I'm not thrilled with you either. Bye. bring, maybe you have some herb plants that you want to bring in. Oh, that's always so nice. Oh, my God, when you can just snip off a couple of basil leaves. Basils, chives, parsley. Mm-hmm. What else stays real nice inside?
That is a good way to get through the winter.
Yeah. It just is nice.
Yeah, and you've started your winter salad, which is...
Winter salad. That's chopped up cabbage and then grated carrots, beets, daikons, kohlrabi, and I still have some finocchio, bulb fennel, and green onions.
Great.
Yeah, little salt, little oil.
So... You could, I'm listening to that and I'm thinking, if you put that all in a bowl and poured some apple cider vinegar or something over it, you could probably make
coleslaw?
What am I trying to say? A kimchi kind of thing.
Oh, sure.
Huh.
That sounds good. Yeah.
And sometimes I had used one of my golden beets that they didn't eat. But it's chioga beets and red beets. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Ooh, yummy.
I chopped up a couple of beets a couple of weeks ago and chopped them small and put them in with my ground beef when I was having a little ground. I wanted a cheeseburger in paradise, but I wanted it mo special. So I put that beets in there. Oh, my God. Gave it this nice little crunch.
Ooh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that uh-huh. little bit of extra sweetness.
Uh-huh.
It was yeah. delicious.
Nice.
You know, you don't have to follow the recipe. Just figure it out. Put stuff together.
Yeah, that's the funnest way to cook. And I think that's one of the greatest things about food these days, and especially in this valley.
Yeah.
And where food is grown is... Mm-hmm. The different dishes, the different
flavors,
the different tastes that, you know, not your grandma's cooking all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like new concoctions and combinations, and it's so fun.
It's really fun. I like to make recipes and freeze them, like my beans and tomatoes. I love that. And
right.
it's, this year, the beans were so good to me. I've had the hiccups for some reason. My beans.
Lance, hold her upside down, would you?
Get a glass. I'll drink out of the other side. So it was just amazing that everything was just doing its
just
thing.
Just off the charts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Green beans and tomatoes. And what else did it? Oh, God, the cherries were so good this year. Bags of frozen cherries.
Yum. It's going to be nice. And speaking of just food going through the winter, you worked on your storage trench, Lance.
I worked on it, and yes, it's finished.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, that's, you know, I always dig it the day or evening before. And we actually filmed the whole putting it all back together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I lined it with straw, and then I... put the carrots in there, and then Stefano just goes, wait a minute, I'm getting the drone.
Oh,
because
uh-huh.
he filmed the whole thing from the drone.
Oh, wow.
Of me filling that back
up.
Oh,
that's great.
So you'll get a bird's eye view at some point.
Yeah.
That's a great way to do it. Don't you always find that if somebody just shows you, it's so much better than trying mm-hmm. to listen to how it's done.
Yeah. And I think that's great that you're sharing that knowledge with everybody.
Yeah.
So that's your friend Stefano, I think it's Cretini. Is that how
Ceratini.
You say it?
Ceratini.
Uh-huh. Ceratini.
Yeah.
And he put out that video at the beginning of the summer, mm-hmm. which was High Desert Garden.
Yeah. Permaculture garden in the high desert.
In the high desert.
Yeah.
Which if you haven't seen Lance's garden, that's a great one to watch because
mm-hmm.
it's you being interviewed and
yeah.
But lots of great drone footage on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's been visiting you every couple weeks over the summer.
Over the summer.
And then helping you.
Filming and putting stuff together. That's
right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good.
And then the storage trench to top it off. And
yeah, that's the last one. And well, he says he'll eventually have it edited down to about 2 hours. And where
wow.
that's going to be seen and stuff, I don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, we will be sure to let our listeners know when that comes online.
And know where that is. Yeah, because that's so good. That's great. You know, and it's so comprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be, if you want to feed yourself, this is what you got to do.
Right. Yeah. Now, if I had a root cellar, I'd be putting stuff in root cellar, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's partially built.
Yeah, you were just working on that one brick at a time.
One 60-pound block.
Oh, mother of God. 60 pounds?
Yeah, 60-pound blocks.
Yeah.
Get a crane.
But anyway, so it has carrots, beets, kohlrabi, daikons, and potatoes in there.
Nice.
You don't put onions or garlic or squash in there, they'll rot.
They'll rot, mm-hmm.
yeah.
And your potatoes this year, I think you mentioned they didn't size up quite how you had expected.
No, I had lots of potatoes, but you know, just smaller than a baseball.
Uh-huh.
Most of them.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Just one of those years, or do you have
mm-hmm.
any brainstorming about what
well,
that might be?
Well, I have mentioned in the past when the vines grow like mad, you're not going to get very good production. And it's as simple as that. And that's really what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because energy all goes to the surface.
And I didn't do anything different. It was just that's what happened this year.
Right.
See, and that's part of my theory about climate.
Yeah.
And I know that we know that we're altering our climate. That's clear. I mean, you hear the phrase all the time, climate change, climate change, climate
it's
change.
It's changing. Yeah.
Right. It's definitely changing. And I think I like to explore how that, in my mind, how that really is going to affect things. And if you are having a season where you've got more nitrogen in the air, let's say, from thunderstorms or whatever, maybe that's going to make your greenery grow greener and more. Maybe it's in the rain. Maybe it's in your irrigation water, you know, leaching in from somewhere. Ooh, don't even talk like leaching in, because we need to be really aware of stuff. And yeah, and it's, you know, the priority of life on this planet is air, water, food, shelter, or whatever it is that you need, you know, whether you're a plant or the mice or a mycelium or whatever, that's the order. Air is the most important, water's next. And so if your water, if your rain or your water is being affected by this overload of CO2, why wouldn't that make things grow more as well? I mean, if there's so much more CO2 in the atmosphere, how can that not affect? Because the trees, everything that's green, takes the CO2 in. That's part of its nourishment from, you know, it photosynthesizes, but it also takes in all this CO2 and converts it, exhales as oxygen. I mean, geez, what a fabulous idea.
Yeah. And it's kind of, I hear what you're saying, is kind of like a really delicate balance. It's like hormones in humans.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just off a little bit.
A little bit, and things are going to change, right? Yeah. And so, oh, the positive effect is you get more greenery. But the maybe not so positive effect is that your potatoes are tiny.
Yeah.
Who the hell wants a potato tiny?
Yeah.
Tiny potato. Right?
Not me.
The one smaller than a golf ball I throw away. Throw in the compost.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to deal with them.
No, I wouldn't either. I don't like potatoes anyway.
But that's right. You're not a
I'm not
no
a big
potatoes
fan.
For you and no tomatoes for you.
Yeah. You right. Got that right.
Yeah. And anyway, but yeah, you know, you just have to think about that more, I think.
I think it's a sense of awareness, and we can all tune in a little bit more to be aware of what's happening and engage in what's happening.
Right, and figuring it out, you know, and going, hey, wait a minute. Yeah. And there's so many ways that you as an individual can cut down on your CO2 use,
right.
You know, just figure it out. There's ways. I mean, think about it.
You know, yeah, if we all just took one little step, it all adds up.
You know, if we all put one load of clothes a week on the line instead of in the dryer, that would make a difference.
It would. And you would sleep better because those sheets smell so good.
Oh, my God, right. You know, if you only did your sheets on the line.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
No, there you go, right? I mean, it just...
Yeah. And if you start to think that way and you do take a step, pretty soon you take another step.
That's exactly
right. And then you take another step.
That's exactly right. And you're not waiting for somebody else to fix the problem for you.
Yeah.
So you try to go to your root thing, your root, I don't know, your roots. You try to go, right? So if you're using a lot of plastic and everything you buy comes in plastic, that's an oil-based product. Somebody's drilling oil or pumping oil or doing something somewhere to do that. And if you want to not have as much CO2 from machines going 90 miles an hour every day of the week to pump out your, you know, plastic bleach bottle.
Ugh,
and I'm guilty. I do bleach.
Well,
but you know,
they package it the way that they package it,
and you can always get dry bleach too. I do the dry bleach.
There you go.
So that's even better, and it comes in a cardboard box, and there's just a plastic liner.
Right.
So it's just a thin piece instead of a huge ass.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not supposed to say huge ass, but a jug. But anyway, there it is.
Just cut back on our consumption.
Yeah, just cut
really
back.
Really simple.
You know what? There it is in you know, really simple. Just cut back. We are so consumptive of everything.
Reduce.
Reuse. Recycle, except for I'm not going for a recycle, because only aluminum and steel can be permanently recycled.
Well, that could be a whole show.
Yeah. We could get a special recycle person in.
There you go.
That
would be fun.
That would be fun. Anyway, on to the next thing.
Okay, well, I want to get a little bit back to the storage, because not only did you dig and fill up your storage trench, you also stored your cabbage.
The cabbage, yes.
Yeah. And what's your method for that?
I take all of the leaves off, except for the head. And I dig the whole plant, roots and all. I shake as much dirt off as I can. And I get 5-gallon planting buckets. And I put...
Planting
buckets.
Wait, what does that mean?
The buckets that you buy plants in.
Oh, the 5-gallon buckets.
Yeah, yeah, 5-gallon buckets.
Right, with the holes in the on the side. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I have, years ago... If you're going to put sand in a bucket and has holes, the sand's going to run.
So,
so anyways, I actually lined the bottom of the pot with a piece of plastic.
Uh-huh.
And then I put I know what I do is I put the sand in the plastic and then put that in the back, because that weighs it down so that you can push the sand
to
the sides.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
And then I fill up those buckets with sand, shake the pot back and forth so that the sand settles, and then I water it, and that's to settle the sand. And now every 2 weeks I'll check the moisture in those sand, in those buckets.
Is that a one-time watering, or
every 2 weeks I will possibly put, and I'll have a bucket, 5-gallon bucket of water with a jar to pour water in. I'll put that right next to them.
So do you just keep that slightly moist?
Slightly moist. And you want it dark, because if it's light, they'll start growing, and that means they'll split open because they're solid heads.
Right.
So I actually have a white tarp on it to reflect the sun.
All right.
Yeah. So, and they can be...
And they live outside?
They're in my garden room.
Oh, in the garden room.
Yeah.
I do have to say, when I... the first visit to your garden, the cabbage just... blew me away. It was like, I felt like I was in Alice in Wonderland's garden. It was giant cabbage. I'm still, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, they'll last clear into April.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your red cabbage is a little spicy this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That happens.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here from some of our underwriters, and we'll be right back. We are back. You're listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF. I'm Jill Spears, your host, here with Lance and Lulu, our organic gardeners. And I love that, a little free love mating behavior break.
I thought that was the best thing I'd heard in a long time.
Yeah, I'm busy. I'm busy.
Go away. Right? Because, I always talk about the little birds, and they were... multitudes of, and they're a sparrow, at my house this year, and they were really, 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 really prolific for a while, and I think they've finally decided to go somewhere else.
Yeah,
but there were so many, as I said it on air, I'm pretty sure a few times, the chicken yard looked like it was snowing. There was so much. Little white bird poop everywhere.
That's great.
But they do this. I'm not sure. I don't know whether they're monogamous or not. But man, when they are deciding that they're going to lay eggs, it's brutal. There's some serious fussing and fighting. And,
yeah, wing flaps and yeah.
You know, and screeching at each other and chasing each other around. And then mom finally settles down. And I've seen where she will. She'll come out if the males are around. She'll just come out and yell at them, you know, like, just get out of here.
Get off my property.
Get away. And, yeah, it's really cool. There's another one of those great ideas of just hanging outside and watching what's going on. You'll figure it out.
Now we can wait for spring and the first birds to chirp at dawn. I love that.
Right?
Can't wait to hear that. I just have the committee at my house now.
Oh, God.
The magpies just are all over.
I love magpies.
I do, too.
They're like the cleanup crew. The magpies and the crows and the vultures and, you know, oh, God.
So smart and just.
So smart.
Personality.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And the crows play games. The crows are so smart, it's ridiculous. They actually play games and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we have our friend Don on the line to talk about overwintering tomatoes.
Uh-oh.
Hi, Don.
Hello, Jill.
Hi.
Hello, everybody.
Hi,
Great
Don.
Great to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. Yeah. Cool.
All right. Well, definitely felt like you were daring me to call in, so here I am.
Great.
Good.
Thanks for answering the challenge.
Good on you.
And, yeah, so I guess first and foremost, I'm doing things the hard way again, and I'm going to try to overwinter some tomato, mostly just the root mass.
Oh.
And I was wondering if you got any hints on that. I've got some ideas, but I wanted to hear what you had to say first.
Well,
I defer to the experts.
I've never done that.
So wait, so here you're
going to cut it off a little bit?
You're going to cut your tomato plant back?
What I did was I pulled the whole root wad before the freeze.
Yeah.
And a couple days later, I thought, well, these are still alive. I could just, you know, cut everything off and take the tomatoes off of them and repot them and see if I get something. And in a couple of months, I'll be kind of ahead of the game. So I did that, and it looks like 2 of 4 are going to live.
Uh-huh.
Not so bad.
And, you know, last season, I overwintered in the sunroom, which has extreme temperature changes through the day.
Yeah.
And so this season, my plan is to put them in a room with indirect light in one of the colder rooms in the house that I don't heat, and just keep it alive until springtime and wake it back up.
Yeah.
Like, let it go dormant.
I don't. Okay, here's.
Do tomatoes do that?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Here's. This might help us figure it out. Do you know what kind of plant you're actually doing? Which variety you're messing with here?
Oh, yeah. One of them is the mother plant that I've had since June 1st of 2023.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I made a clone of that one last year, and those are black cherry tomatoes.
Okay.
And then I got an orange cherry tomato this spring along with a pineapple tomato. Ooh. And those two seem to be the ones that are most healthy.
Mm-hmm.
The orange and the pineapple one.
Yes.
Yeah. They're probably indeterminate.
Yeah, if they're cherry tomatoes, they're indeterminate. And they'll keep growing. And I know that in like Hawaii or in tropical areas, sometimes those plants last for 5 years.
Oh, wow.
So you can lightly fertilize with fish, not maybe fish, but more kelp. Just get it through the stress of the season. You know, keep it moist, but not not soaking wet.
Yeah, and I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, I get the temperature swings. That's going to be difficult. But I don't think they would really want to be in the shade that much.
They don't want the shade, and they don't want to be in cool.
Yeah. I think they want to be where it's warm and sunny.
So swing to the other temperature zone.
Yeah, do you have a place inside where you could, where they'll be in a more stable temperature, like house temperature, and have indirect light or some nice gentle sunlight?
Lulu, do you remember how impressed I was with that aloe you had in that one room in your house?
Yeah, I still have it.
I think they, for overwintering, I think they need that kind of indirect light.
Yeah.
And not much going on, but I have a place like that.
Okay.
Oh, that
and it'll be cool. It'll be like 50 or 60 degrees in there, but steady.
Well, I think that's better
try it.
I think that's better than wild temperature swings and a more consistent light source. I think it's going to be better. I don't know. Just try it. I love it that you try all this stuff. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Oh, gosh. It's the bane of my existence.
Yeah, it is.
I've spent so much time. But, hey, the good news, I picked half a dozen radishes today.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Good.
Out of my, there are these redwood planter boxes I made. And I have a screen that fits over them, and it's kind of been working like a cold frame.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And I love the compost show last week.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Thank you,
Don. And I've got some burrow manure and a bunch of weeds. I got a big pile going on, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you can run over that with the lawnmower and chop it up, too. You know, that really helps.
I don't think he doesn't have a lawnmower out there. He doesn't need one.
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry.
No, I have a shovel. I don't need a lawnmower.
I don't know, Don. When I drive through that area, I'm always looking for your place, and I think it must be that little oasis
right there. Right back in the back, yeah. And so did you get a lot of snow, or what was your scene at the snow?
I got about 2 inches, and it's so warm down here that it melted off of the ground. And if the radishes hadn't been covered, they probably would have frozen days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's a muddy mess. It's a soupy mess. I got about an inch of rain not long ago, and it's very, very wet. Lots of weeds.
Oh, well.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Perfect. Those fall weeds have germinated with that rain and moisture.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I'll just try to stay on that. But, yeah, I got biodiversity. I've got a couple of kestrels. And I have house finches and mountain bluebirds eating late-season grasshoppers.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
There's the good news.
Wow.
That is great.
Wow, kestrels, that's so cool.
Yeah,
nice.
Right.
Love that. Well, see, there you are. You're supporting the local wildlife and having a big time. Yeah, it's a bane of your existence, but I mean, you know.
Somebody's got to do it.
Somebody's got to do it, and there's probably worse banes. I mean,
yes, there's a lot worse banes than that.
So there you go. Nice work.
Oh, thanks, Lulu. Yeah, cool.
I think it is cool.
It is.
Good for you.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Don. Good luck with those tomatoes.
Well, you will be the first to know, probably the first show of next season.
Okay.
But thank you so much.
All right,
thanks,
Don.
Thanks for the call. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's great. Awesome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, that's combat gardening out there.
Yeah.
You know, that's amazing.
I know, but he's just going for it with all kinds of different plants.
Well, and there you are. You're in the desert. Mm-hmm. I mean,
right.
You know, if you can take advantage of whatever you've got,
that's
a good thing.
I'm going to add a little water and a little organic matter.
And I'm going to bring these tomatoes in and see what happens. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, love it. 970-527-4868, 866-KVNF now. Lance, you got your garlic in.
Yes.
That's all planted.
I got the garlic in, watered it, and then it rained the next day. You know, but anyways.
Do you feel like it got too wet, maybe?
No.
No.
No. But it, I think it was 1,500 cloves.
I'm sorry. I planted that many one time. I thought I was going to die.
1,500, yeah.
A lot of clothes. Yeah, when you're pushing over 1,000, you're a sick puppy. You know that, don't you? Yeah. I think you need a 12-step program. And
when you're planting, do you count that from just the size of the bed? Or I would just be in this thing of counting number one. 1, 2.
No, I don't count that way. Okay. I actually measure out the bed. Uh-huh. Okay, it's 50 feet long. Multiply it by 12 to get inches, and divide it by 4 to get every 4 inches is what I want. So that gives me how many clothes. So it's 150 clothes per row, and there's 10 of them.
Okay, so you do the math.
I do the math. And I don't count while I'm doing it. That would drive me nuts.
You know what I, you know, when I count, was planting a lot of garlic up at Phil's, I used the 4x4 utility panel, and I put the whole panel down. And I'd do one row of cloves, and then I'd skip a row, and I'd do the next row of garlic cloves, and then so on and so on. And that way, you could do a wide swath, and because you have the utility panel down, you can walk right over everything, and it worked really, worked pretty well.
So you use it like a planting grid?
Like a grid. Yeah. And, you know, you can, it's pretty easy. Pretty good way to do it.
Nice.
Get your little dibble or your little long shovel trowel-y thing and
just for listeners that don't know what a dibble is, it's a little tool, usually a T handle, and it has a metal tip on it. It could be straight wood, but a metal tip, and you use it to punch a hole in instead of using your finger or thumb.
Oh, right.
And it sure helps.
What does it work?
Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. And you just, I mean, you know, and there they are. It's great.
A dibble in the tool shed. And Lance, you just kind of wanted to mention about your tools and small engines and kind of wrapping.
Just the small engines. There's 3 different things you can do. You can run it out of gas. You can put gas stabilizer and run it for about 5 minutes so it gets down into the carburetor. And Lulu mentioned
aviation gas.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, put that in.
Kaboom.
Yeah.
You know, so anyways, and keep it out of the weather.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, don't let it sit in the snow. And if it's you don't have a shed, put a tarp over it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, pretend you're going to do the right thing and keep your tools organized and not weather.
This is a real funny one, and I've done this because I didn't have a shed. I put the wheelbarrow over the lawnmower.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
It's a cover.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say, my wheelbarrows, here I am talking about, you know, keeping stuff out of the weather, but my wheelbarrows, I just stand up so they don't collect the snow and the rain and everything, and they drain. But the handles, the wooden handles and everything get pretty badly abused. But Willie sanded them a little bit and put some extra oil on them. You know. So you just do what you can. I'd put them in the, I could put them in the little house, but that garage space is full of the benches that go out in the fire pit area and all that.
Yeah, my picnic table is in the shed.
Oh,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't leave it out.
Yeah, don't leave it out. Don't leave the benches out. Yeah.
Right.
You know, so there you have it.
Well, we're getting to that time. We're going to get a little bit of warm weather coming up, but it's good to kind of be...
Even your garden hoses.
Yeah.
You know, you try to drain them, but if you can get them... they've been out in the sun all summer long. Mm-hmm. Give them a break.
Yeah, if you can. Yeah. I think about that all the time because I... have a hose, an old hose that I had. It was old to begin with. And I run it from the back of the house by the back door all the way out around the side of the house on the west side and around the corner so I can get water to those front trees out there. The big trees in the front, right? I haven't seen that hose for years.
Right.
No idea where it is what it's doing.
Yeah, I take a bucket in my garage and put it on the wall you know, with hanging on a couple nails. And then I wrap my hose around that, so okay. It's nice.
Oh,
and
good idea.
Wrapped up and off the floor. And
mine are rolled up loosely, and they're hanging inside the shed where I put the lawnmower and stuff. And so they're actually completely out of the weather.
Yeah.
Right.
How many feet of hose do you think you have that you drag around?
Let me see.
He's doing the math.
I know, right.
The math. He's got his eyes closed.
Well, there's eight different things, and each one has 100 or more feet.
Right.
Oh, wow.
That makes
some's sense. Two of them are 150. The other ones are 100 feet.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Mine are mostly hundreds, but I have a couple of 50s, too. And I'm in most of the yards on sprinkler, so.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for that, and that's still working. But that needs an overhaul, too. You know, it's funny. You go along every year and every year and every year, and all of a sudden you go, it's been 15 or 20 years.
Yeah, right. Time flies.
Things wear out.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and sharp tools, well-maintained tools, mm-hmm. really do make a difference.
Yeah. Wow, yeah.
527-486-8866, KVNF now. Lance, you had that surprise delicata pumpkin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're going to make something for us?
I'm going to make it up to something, but I haven't cut into it yet, uh-huh. so I don't know what we're going to get.
Right, and so how are you going to decide on what you're going to make?
Well, it'll depend on whether it's dense flesh or more like the delicata, real thin and delicate, sort of, mm-hmm. And then I'll taste it, of course. And I don't know, you reckon you can eat the seeds, like pumpkin seeds?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think they'll be all right. And, so I'll just try and figure it out. Do you know what the settlers did back in the day? Remember that? All those pilgrim stories and when white guys...
Did they make custard?
No, they didn't make custard. Well, maybe they did,
They baked the whole squash. They opened the lid, cleaned it out, poured the whatever mixture in there.
The eggs and milk or whatever.
And then they baked it.
Oh, yeah, I love that. That would be good, too. I love baking things in a squash.
Yeah.
Oh, love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I do, too. Yeah, zoo canoes, when you get those monster zucchinis and you can make those. Yeah. But in the another thing that they used to do with their pumpkins to overwinter them is they'd cut them up and string them, make like a string with a needle and a thread. They'd string them up and hang them from the rafters, and they'd smoke their hams in the chimneys and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Well, I read a book about it one time, and I was kind of blown away. And I always liked, it was real clever. And you realize how clever and innovative people were. All mm-hmm. those, and that's all part of that. You know, you don't need a plastic, anything.
Right, right.
These guys were getting it done with, nothing.
Right.
And staying alive, obviously.
I love it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. so, just get innovative.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
I like it too.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and what about those praying mantis? You're like gearing up for grasshopper slaughter already.
No, I was just pulling out my trellis stakes on the, mm-hmm. and every single one of them had egg casing, chrysalis. On it. And they were on the north side mainly. And I made sure I didn't. When I was putting those stakes back where they go for the winter, they
those cocoons.
Yeah, they were not squashed.
Yeah,
nice. There you
go. Yeah, so
that's exciting to mm-hmm. see.
I wonder how many eggs are in there.
I
don't know.
Yeah, Jer probably knows.
Yeah, Jer, if you're out there, tell us how many eggs are in the chrysalis.
He has some giant praying mantis.
Oh yeah, he's got his own special breed out there.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's because
base of lamb born, they're like dinosaurs.
Yeah, they're in the energetic flow, of everything, and but he had some ginormous grasshoppers too. So
he sure did. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah,
the guys were, could you see the praying mantis going out there and going, oh, no, that, not that one. You want to try that one? Buddy, I ain't going, okay.
Take a couple of us to take it down.
Well, just gang up on him.
Yeah. And what's going on with seed cleaning and or grain cleaning? Lance, you probably still have a lot of that in the works, huh?
The sweet peas need to be threshed and cleaned. They're really pretty easy. Two pourings in front of a fan and they'll be clean.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And then I have over a 5-gallon bucket of carrot seed to thresh and clean. And
wow.
I'll probably do that mainly with the hands, get it off those seed heads, and then I will screen it. Mm-hmm. And then if I want to get the dust out, then I'll winnow it afterwards. And then the wheat's been threshed. It just needs to be winnowed. And I'm going to start on the amaranth. And then after the amaranth has been threshed and cleaned, you know, then I'll do the rye, that rye that was 6 feet tall or so.
Wow.
And then I'll do the barley. Yeah.
And you're just going to do this as time goes on a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's kind of your winter projects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about that. So if you're doing corn or wheat or anything, do you ever have trouble with the bugs getting in it, like the mealworms or something like that?
If they're in a bucket that doesn't have a good lid, yes.
You get them, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've kind of figured out that storage piece of it.
I used to have, well, I still have them, but you can get those buckets now come with a rubber gasket.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't have a rubber gasket, it's not going to keep the bugs out.
Seal the deal.
Yeah, right. And you can get those lots of all your food grade buckets will have that rubber gasket on the lid.
Right.
And if you don't know, you can go to almost any deli because they are always getting things in 2 to 4 gallon, 5 gallon buckets.
Right.
You know, food grade.
Right.
Great.
Yeah, I always find the buckets, the little buckets that the bulk, coconut oil comes in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Those are good. Peanut butter, tahini, all those. Yeah. Those 2 gallon buckets.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, they're very nice.
Yeah, they work like a charm.
Perfect. Hey, Jer's checking in with us.
Oh, see.
Okay. Answer the call.
Nice.
Hi, Jer.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Did you hear us talking about praying mantis? Is that?
Yes, mm-hmm. You guys were asking about praying mantis eggs, which are called chrysalis.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The chrysalis isn't the cocoon itself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the egg. The
egg.
Cocoon.
Exactly. Right. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And they have 50 to 100 babies in them.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And when they hatch, they're usually pretty hungry. And so if they can't find anything else to eat, they'll start eating each other.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Nice.
I didn't realize that.
Huh.
They're pretty cool. They're really tiny.
Yeah.
But they look, you know, just like the big praying mantis. But they're really tiny. So they look like these little aliens breaking out, crawling all over. And so this fall, while I've been doing fall cleanup on the farm, I keep coming across chrysalis.
Mm-hmm.
And so I keep collecting them. I put them in a, you know, bucket in my barn so that they can stay cool, keep them in a cool, dark place. And then this spring, I'll take them and I'll, like, tie them to branches, probably.
So
like strategic placement or?
Exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah. Ah. So you want to keep them off the ground so they're not wet. And you can tie them to branches. Obviously, they can winter, you know, the cold and the wet over the winter, but you don't want them getting soggy in the spring. So that's why I just collect them and I'll keep them in a safe place. And then in the spring, I'll tie them to branches and stuff like on the raspberries and here and there.
Well, do they eat their way out of the chrysalis or does it split open? I've never been able to figure that much out. Yeah, I never have either. Yeah. Yeah.
At some point, there's just a hole in the chrysalis. Yeah, and they're crawling out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, see, there we go. Maybe there's somebody else out there who knows the answer.
Right.
But
you never know.
You know, there's quite a bit of them, but I don't know what the ratio of ones that live to die are or anything like that. But
Well, that's ideally close enough.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, ideally, we want them all to live so they can take care of those grasshoppers. So.
I know. We're rooting for them.
We're pulling for them.
Right?
We're pulling for them.
When they're really tiny, I imagine they're eating stuff like mites and maybe flea beetles and stuff like that.
Sure.
Know?
Mm-hmm.
And then as they get bigger, they have bigger prey. So.
Right.
Yay, praying mantis.
Yep.
Yeah. There you go.
Thank you, Jer.
Thanks,
Jer.
You bet.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Call to action. We'll talk to you guys.
Nice.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Jer.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye.
Have a good night.
Good night. Bye. See, there you have it. That's perfect.
Right.
We love it that you guys are out there listening to us.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping that somehow, somewhere in the great wide universe.
Right.
You know, somebody starts to catch on and go, hey, wait a minute.
Yep. Well, we're all working at it,
we're
right?
We're working at mm-hmm. it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that level of catch on just keeps going. Once you start catching on, oh, baby.
Yeah.
I love that. Then you just keep going.
Ooh, I love momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about compost, Lance, because you got your asparagus out and you're going to compost that bed or?
Yeah, I got it all cut down. And I hand turned because those crowns are at about 18 inches down.
Oh, wow.
And so, yes, I'll take that last compost pile and use half of it on that asparagus bed. And when I cut the prima cane raspberries I have, when I cut those down, it will get the other half. And those are the last, besides still turning soil, but it's a little sticky out there right now, the dirt soil.
Right.
You know, tomorrow I'll finish harvesting the last of what I got out there.
Mm-hmm. And that would be?
Carrots, beets. Uh-huh. I'm not sure about the daikons just because where will I put them? And all the kohlrabi will come out.
Okay. Yeah. So, wow. Final harvest.
The final harvest.
Final throwdown.
Yeah. Right. Good deal. All right. Well, that is going to do it for us tonight. Thank you, Lance and Lulu. And thanks to our callers, Don and Jer. And we're going to be back next Wednesday to wrap things up. Great to be here tonight. Thank you all for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF. It's Global Express coming up next.
All right. Have a good evening.
Good night, everybody. Be kind.
With taillight neon, you've got a cute fast pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.